3, 2, 1.
Here we go! Welcome everyone to this week's episode of the No Normal Show, brought to you by Revive. This is where we leave all things status quo, traditional, old school, and boring in the dust, and celebrate the new, the powerful, the innovative, the future, all related to how brands can lead the way in health. I'm your co-host, Desiree Duncan, Vice President of Health Equity and Inclusion at Revived, and I got a couple of fun guests with me, one you have already heard from before, bringing back Christian Barnett, Chief Creative Officer here at Revive. Hi, Christian. Long time no chat.
Hi, Des. Great to hear you again.
Yeah, and we got a new exciting special guest, Mindy Adams, Chief Creative Officer at BPD. Welcome to the show, Mindy.
Thank you. Hello, friends. Happy to be here.
Yeah, excited to have you both on. You both have this great history in creativity and thinking and bringing ideas to life. Knowing that, of course, working in advertising, which, you got to do the things, but there's so much of that heart and creativity that you bring to the work. But would love, as the listeners they've listened to and met Christian before, but Mindy, would love to hear more about you, your background, and some of the work that you've done that make creative ideas come to life.
Sure. Yes. Thank you. I've been in this space for 20 years now, working across all the verticals. I've worked on retail, clients like public supermarkets, worked for the Ad Council, CDC, Disney, Nike, Netflix, Delta, you name it, worked on it, but have found such a home and special passion for healthcare. I believe that no industry is more deserving of innovation. And so really stoked to be leading ideas in this space.
Yeah, having you join us in the forces of healthcare is really exciting. I know you've been doing this for a couple of years, but the fact that you've been working in all of these other brands that are so exciting, excited to see what kind of ideas can come to fruition. And then, Christian, you've been in the sparking of creative ideas world, and you're kind of taking that to the next level. And I would love to hear more about your thinking and kind of your philosophy on creative.
Oh, that's a huge question. So I'll just throw a couple of things out there and then see where it takes us. I guess two things to start with. Great brands, great advertising campaigns, great art has an idea at the middle of it, right? It generally has an idea. It starts with something, with some sort of grist. And that generally starts in a human space, right? And if you think about all the great books or films, even music you've seen or listened to, there's often a tension. There's often some sort of tension which exists. And even in our world, where very often the brand is the solution to a problem, which in of itself is tension, like the best ideas start where there's some degree of tension. There's something not quite right. There's some drama. There's something to be solved. There's a mystery. There's a reveal. There's a joke. There's something. So all great ideas start, I think, in the human truths, our truths, and they involve emotion and tension. And that's where the things begin. And when a brand or a campaign can take that and make it meaningful and engaging, and there are different ways to engage, we'll come back to that, I'm sure, that's where the magic starts to happen. And the genius brands, the brands which have got such power and such value and mean so much to us culturally, they've managed to find that thing and run with it and run with it and refresh it and run with it and run with it. And that's for me a start point for kind of creativity, I guess.
Yeah, that's really interesting. I think I was listening to something that was talking about some brands like Snickers and Nike, for example, where they have kept the same strategy for decades, essentially. But it's like, what is, how does it come to life now? And they've been able to switch it and make that change. But I'm wondering, Mindy, your thoughts on kind of keeping that spark flowing through a creative brand, strategy thinking. And just kind of curious about your philosophy and your take on creativity.
Yeah, I think Christian and I share the truth that it all starts in a human truth in the human space. On the one end, creativity can certainly entertain and can move you. But on the best end, and that's where it gets really exciting for us, creativity can actually solve problems or make things better or create experiences. And I think the best brands continue to iterate against that. And I'm actually a person in advertising that doesn't love ads. Don't get me wrong. I respect and appreciate the art and the mastery behind them. And I love to laugh, and Super Bowl is amazing. Loved being entertained, but I really appreciate and strive for and chase creative ideas that can bring real solutions to things and move the needle in meaningful ways that can change the world. So, and I think like if you're a creative person, we see it not just as an opportunity, but kind of our job and our obligation to use these superpowers of creativity to do something, you know, do something real.
Yeah, so almost like it's purpose driven. Mm-hmm. Like, what are some examples of things that you have either created yourself or seen out in the world that really, really kind of gets you thinking and kind of gets you your emotions flowing, and the tension that Christian had mentioned, showing that example of how you can create something that almost either brings that tension to life or relieves it.
Yeah, well, there's one example that I am obsessed with because I love music. Woozer did something incredible for cystic fibrosis patients, kids especially. And a cystic fibrosis patient will tell you one of the worst parts of their days is the treatment where they have to wear this vest that like agitates their lungs to expel mucus. That sounds like zero fun, right? It's awful. So how could they make that terrible moment of treatment better? They partnered with a company that specializes in gaming and wearables and synced up these vests to the kids' Spotify account. They found the perfect hertz, the perfect beats per minute of music to create, kind of like turn their treatment into a dance party. So while they're wearing this vest, they're bumping to their favorite beats, which is pretty awesome. So that's actually something they created. IKEA did something with a showroom. They called it This Ables, which was incredible. And they brought differently abled customers into their showroom and let them interact with their furniture and their products. And they actually innovated with their engineers in real time and created little additions to their products to make them accessible and usable to everyone. Their whole philosophy is furniture for all. And so they literally turned their promise and they acted on it and gave people access. So things like that get me really pumped and jazzed, like just leaning into those tensions and those challenges and overcoming them with literally creative innovations in the form of products. I know, Christian, what do you like out there right now?
I've got one not healthcare, one healthcare, but I just realized as you asked me, they're both kid centric. I used to work a lot with the Lego brand, and the thing that stays with me is the philosophy, right? This is interesting because they make plastic bricks, and what do plastic bricks do? They help kids play, and they occupy kids' time. But behind that is a whole philosophy about the role of play in children's lives, and the idea that if you play well as a child, you know, you look at little kittens playing, and it's very obvious what they're doing when they roll around a little ball of wool, right? They're practicing becoming little hunters, right? This kind of thing. And for children, it's not dissimilar, right? A lot of what we do as children, and I guess there's another sub-strand here about we should continue to be children as we become adults because it helps us play and invent and be creative. So I guess that's relevant. But a lot of what Lego is about is this philosophy of what makes good play. And I'm going to kind of contrast like the culture and the philosophy of that with, you know, in this Scandinavian, with a lot of play culture in the States, which is very much about individual heroes, which is a very different type of play, right? I mean, G.I. Joe, I think it's called here. It's called Action Man in Britain. But it's very much about individuals and heroes. And you can see that reflected in like Hollywood culture. Whereas in Northern Europe and Scandinavia in particular, and in Germany for other reasons as well, but you can see why that kind of that heroizing of the individual is not. It's all about the collective. And Lego is not about individual hero play. It's about you can build it and you can destroy it and you can rebuild it and you can make stories from it and you can destroy them and you can make more stories. So there's a kind of a wonderful kind of philosophy about the role of play in kids' lives. So they had this thing, this internal employee call, which is about, you know, how I believe this. Many of the people who work in Lego believe they're going to work to help kids become better adults. And I always get like goosebumps on the back of my neck when I say that, because sure, they make money and sure, they, you know, but I think they believe that. I really believe that they believe that when they go to work, and there's a higher calling and a higher purpose. I mean, that's the non-healthcare. The healthcare one, we borrowed a lot from Lego when we did the work for Gillette Children's, which is a hospital in the Twin Cities for kids who have serious neuromusculoskeletal issues. And they're, you know, if they can lean for, this is, you know, if they can lean forward for an extra hour a day, their quality of life is hugely enhanced. And, you know, we did a load of work with them. And one of the, I mean, we borrowed in a way the kind of the Lego and the Nike philosophy. And the thing we came to was like, you know, if you have a body, you have value, right? You have value. And one of the parents of one of the children was like, well, why has my daughter been put on the earth like this? And the conclusion she had come to was because her daughter, who was mute and unable to talk and deaf, she was there to help other people love, you know, and she was a beautiful, lovely girl who'd go into restaurants and just want to be hugged and hug others. And the mum found purpose in her daughter through that. I mean, they moved across the states to be close to the hospital. It's such a good hospital. But those stories fill me with like immense sense of, you know, what we can do if we think correctly and think creatively about what's in front of us.
Yeah, it's almost like kind of mirroring back the human experience. Right? Because from an inclusion standpoint, we talk oftentimes about, you know, representation and like, what does that actually mean? And that a person isn't completely defined by, you know, the demographic that they live, right? That like not all women are the same, all Black people are the same and what have you. But also finding what are some of those true through lines that connect us. So when we're thinking about the human experience you'd mentioned, it's almost kind of like, what is that similarity? So for example, I don't know, Kristen, you might have a thought here, but for example, this is something that has been showing up in some of our qual interviews with consumers, and they're just talking about that sense of not feeling heard when they're going into the doctor's office or going into the clinic, and that sense of not feeling heard, depending on who you are, your background. You had mentioned about how there's a difference in a sense of self here in the United States versus a sense of community and maybe other countries. So like, what are some of those factors? But like, just kind of curious your thoughts of when you notice something that is, hey, hang on here, this is really interesting, or just something that's showing up a lot, you know, where do you take that from a creative standpoint, or maybe even a cultural insight standpoint?
I used to be a research before creative, I was a strategist. Before that, I was a researcher. The best work I've ever done in my career has been when I've spoken to people directly. I haven't read a research report. I've done the work myself, and I've asked the right questions and felt the right emotions. And it's, you know, it's knowing where to look. It's knowing where to look in people, what to find unexpected things which are deep, emotional, and different. That's one answer. The other is that I do believe that there are, and I mean, you know, there are universal truths, right? They may express in slightly different ways in different cultures, but and the easy ones are love and hate, right? They are universal. They are universal. And if you start, and they are felt regardless of, you know, height, color, religion, gender. I mean, we all have some understanding of love and hate. And if you start in those places, that's, I think, you know, it's not always about love and it's always about hate, right? But that's a start. There's a door to go through, which there's such richness and such commonality, you know, with people. It's just how you find that stuff, right? I mean, I'll stop. I better stop.
But when you do find it too, it is, Desi said the magic word, you said mirror. And I think we must make sure that we're being mirrors with the work, and not megaphones or microphones, because that's the one way consumers know that we are listening to them and we do hear them and we understand them, is to reflect them back to themselves and let them see themselves in the work. And that from an inclusion standpoint, that's literally seeing themselves. But it's also honesty. It's not being too saccharine with the emotion. Christian talked to tension. Like, the human experience is tense. It's not rainbows and sunshine. And people are going to trust you and realize that you understand them when you lean into the tension, the adversity, and reflect that back to them. And yeah, it's not picture perfect, but it sure is beautiful when you're being honest.
You know, you mentioned that, not being saccharine, the true emotion, and that it almost sometimes when we're in healthcare, it's almost like we forget that humor and laughter and fun and joviality is an emotion that people exist, and that, you know, healthcare is seen as this like very serious and very, deeply reflective thing. But is there a way that we can mirror a person's existence while also kind of being a little bit more lighthearted than, you know, so serious? And I guess I mentioned this because of, talking with my friends, with Black people, right? Like something very serious will happen, but like we're quick to just start to think about light of it, making fun and jokes. And honestly, it's a coping mechanism in some ways, because life is really hard. And you can't just sit and cry about everything. But just kind of curious, you all's thoughts on how, we can bring some of that thinking to maybe even healthcare, the way that we're able to see it in consumer brands, while also, of course, noting that there is some seriousness to healthcare, but how can we, kind of take a different angle, different look at it?
Yeah, of course. Laughter is the best medicine, right? And we can't take ourselves. Christian talked about universal things, love and hate, but laughter and humor is also a universal human experience. And when we want to connect emotionally with consumers, people automatically go to heartstrings and make them cry and make them, make them laugh is also an emotional response. And people always are going to remember how you made them feel. And if you make them laugh, they're going to remember that. Like you said, it's healing, it's coping. It's just part of life. We can't take ourselves or healthcare too seriously.
There is a campaign, and at some point we or someone else is going to make it, and it could be, in my world, it's two guys of my age in a bar talking about all their sports injuries they've accumulated over the years. There's many other people's version of the same thing, and that can be just like one hell of a really funny piece of dialogue. And I know a bunch of friends who are my age who have all been sports people through their lives, like complaining about things which don't work anymore or what's happened to various parts of their body. It's funny and it's true and it's engaging and it's on the subject. I mean, like, why haven't we done that? Because that isn't even deeply graphic or anything, right? That's just funny. I mean, there's more and more layers to go to get really authentic, but that wouldn't be a bad start.
Yeah, like it's super relatable. You know, we've all kind of, gone through these different things, and it's like just kind of, making light of it. But also on those same lines, when you think about some of the folks that capture, who are really good at capturing like what's going on in the human spirit, it's comedians, right? They're sitting back, they're watching, they're reflecting on what's going on, and then kind of giving it back to us, in a more quippy way, or in a way that sparked something that we never actually thought of or made that connection to, that's kind of opens our eyes. So I'm kind of curious, for you two, where do you go for inspiration? What are some things that you've seen out in the world that has sparked an idea that it might not even been remotely tied to like thinking about some advertising or a brand, but like just something you had noticed out in the world that really sparked an idea?
Okay, I've got Mindy and I know this one. Literally a brief that we briefed in yesterday. I was on the elliptical machine because I can't run because of sports injury. I was on the elliptical machine in the gym earlier in the morning, and I was listening to This American Life. And there was a fantastic podcast about, dating. Is it myth or is it numbers? Do people do it with like formulas, or do they do it with just like boom? And there was this amazing, yeah, that's right. Thank you. Myth or magic, yeah. And there was this couple, the short version, there was this, it is relevant, Indian woman in Cleveland studying law who had this list, this huge long list of things that she wanted from a husband. And she got hundreds of people to respond, even though it was a really brutal like list. And there was this Indian man in Switzerland, in Zurich, who was like, what is going on here? And he emailed and said, what are you doing? This is like totally ridiculous. What are you hoping to achieve here? It's nuts. Anyway, you know the story, right? They met up, they got together, and they've been married. And they say the magic in their relationship, or not the magic, no, it's because they come from such different places, but they make it work. They make it work, and it keeps them going. And their kids, the mum said, yeah, my kids are learning one thing from me and one thing from him. But it was like hilarious, right? And why was that interesting? Because we were looking at, I know, what's more important, relationship? Well, I was anyway, in my head, what's more relationship important? Relationships with our clients or great work? Relationships or great work? Well, perhaps they can have both. Perhaps it's like that couple. You know, you can have that and you can have that. And when they work together, boom, it's fantastic. So that's a direct example from yesterday of where I took one thing and like reprocessed it in my head and it came out as something else, which was relevant to what we were doing. I know that that's just the most recent story, but I hope it's illustrative.
Well, I started thinking about dating, like what I go for, and it's like, oh, you don't want just the same thing always or whatever. But Mindy, what's been something that's kind of really sparked you that just kind of came out of nowhere?
I don't know if it came out of nowhere, but two really good tricks when you're wanting to be creative or think about work. The first one, every time we kick off a team, I tell the creatives, write this down on your brief if you still have a paper brief, or write it down on your brain. Do one thing different, because I think so much of creativity is just literally looking at everything differently or thinking differently. And if you do one thing different for that project, whether it's, you know, you take a different route that day, or you approach the thinking from a completely opposite angle, or start from the end, whatever it is, do something differently that you've never done before when you kick off this project, 1,000,000%, it will get you to new things and ideas. The other thing is, you've already kind of said it, is listening, like listen twice as much as you talk. It's so fascinating. Like, people are going to just go sit in a coffee shop and don't say a word and just watch and listen and observe. And humans are just the most inspiring. We're just amazing. And you'll always come away with some new perspective if you just literally watch and listen to people around you. It's super cool.
You know, we don't really take enough time to do that. We're so self-conscious. We're thinking about like, oh, am I coming off weird? Or what am I doing? Is that weird? But the next time I see you, I want to do that. I want to actually just take the time and sit and actually see what it is that we're noticing out in the world, and how are people interacting, and what's changed, and all of that good stuff.
Yeah, when I was growing, when I was like a young advertising person in London, the creative director was like, get on the bus, go to work on the bus, see people on the bus, just watch how they behave, listen to what they're saying, just like be amongst people. I mean, it's funny, I miss public transit. It's one of the things I miss most about living here. I want public transit, because you're in a big swathe of people, you're part of humanity, and you're picking stuff up, you're seeing culture around you. And I think that's such a great place to like lose your own ego in a way and be subsumed into what's happening around you, which is like Mindy's saying, stop, put yourself down and put yourself away for a bit and listen to what's going on.
Yeah. Being in a crowd makes you feel appropriately small and just gives you just an amazing perspective. Yeah.
Across the board, I think kind of what I'm hearing from both of you is that sense of staying open, or making yourself open to consume, to understand. And it kind of reminds me of back when I had a motorcycle. It was so carefree. And I do this with biking as well, just not as fast. But they talk about the uncaged feeling of being on a motorcycle, where you get to experience, like when you're in a car, you're kind of experiencing what's going on in the car. You got your music blaring, you might be, you know, doing this, checking your speed or what have you. But your windows are up, so you're not hearing, you're not feeling the wind. But when you're in a, on a motorcycle or a bicycle, you're able to take in even just the sights, the sounds, the smells of, you know, what you're driving by. Like I notice on a ride, like, oh, I smell tobacco. There must be tobacco fields. And then your mind just kind of wanders. Similar thing with bikes. That's what I kind of love as I'm traveling around the country, is like going on bike rides to see what is it that I can kind of pick up on of even just this community, the things you don't get a chance to slow down and see. So I'm just kind of curious, what are some other maybe activities that you've done or you've seen or even just heard folks talk about that helps open you up to reflect or see how others are kind of experiencing the world that's going to enhance creativity? I know that was a curveball.
I have one favorite story. And, you know, I thought, how do I get the story into this podcast? But I think I've got the chance. It's a small little... It's when I was young, and these funny things stay with you, and it may not be at all... You know, Peter Gabriel, the artist, his breakthrough solo LP album was the third one. The third LP. And he said to all the drummers, he was a drummer himself, and a lot of his music was kind of African inspired and very rhythmical. And the order he gave to all the drummers was no cymbals. You will not hit one cymbal in the entire album. So he forced the drummers to think about drumming differently. He removed something. He took something away and said, now do it. And that just stayed with me since I was about 15 or so. That was a really interesting, provocative thing to throw at people. And I think that's a brilliant example of making things happen differently. I just think it's lots of other ones, but that one stayed with me for, like, I don't know, decades.
It's so true. It's not exactly tied to your question, Des, but something Christian just said about being taking something away or putting parameters around something. I think the best thinking and the best ideas come from the quickest turns, the quickest sprints, and the smallest boxes. Like, think your way out of the small box, and that's when your brain really does have to open up, for sure.
Okay.
Take away the symbols.
Yeah, take away the symbols, and that can show up in different ways. Symbolism, symbols of the... okay, so if you were to just sum up kind of your thinking about what you hope to create from a healthcare standpoint, a brand standpoint, you know, how would you kind of sum that up?
I mean, if in one kind of phrase or one thought, I think we've discussed a lot of this. I think Mindy's been very explicit about it. I think we all have been. Like, the human experience, the authentic human experience, like beauty, you know, beauty, beauty in things, beauty in soul and spirit and people inside, truths, the senses when you're on your motorbike or your bicycle, being lost in a crowd which is bigger than who you are, you know, having fun with friends, laughing, understanding that life is bad and horrible and death and it's amazing. And, you know, these things are just life. And yet in our business, we seem to run in a really narrow corridor, which I know barely reflects 10% of all the things, all the words I've just thrown out. So if we could just extend that canvas or enlarge that palette or whatever the phrase is to encompass more of more, wouldn't be a bad start.
Yeah. Thank you, Christian. What about you, Mindy? What's something that you hope to make sure to get across in the work that you do?
Oh, goodness. Yeah, I think it is about connection and what we share. And I think that's what we have an opportunity to do through our messages and our work is let people see how much we are connected and that shared human experience. And that is everything, right? That's part of well-being and health. It's not just a healthy heart and a sound mind, but it is like that emotional, social thriving that we need each other. And it's so interesting that as virtual and as digital and as robotic and augmented reality as we get, we are not truly human unless we're sharing that human experience together. So,
yes. Well, thank you both. You've inspired me to actually kind of tap into my own creative side. After work, I'm going to go for a walk and just kind of see what the world reflects back to me and if I can spark some ideas. But we'll wrap up this show. Mindy, Christian, thank you so much for being here. And for all of you listening, thank you for joining in. If there's something you want us to cover, shoot us an email at onormal@reviveagency.com. Make sure to share the show with your friends and colleagues and give us a review and rating on iTunes, preferably 5 stars. All of that would be greatly appreciated. And until next time, don't ever be satisfied with the normal. Push that no normal, y'all, and we'll see you next time. 3, 2,